Good afternoon. You're listening to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program Public Affairs Show on KDNK. My name is Steve Mills, and I am the co-leader and co-founder of Gay for Good Rocky Mountains here in the Roaring Fork Valley. Today, we're very excited to continue our monthly program, Dimensions in Diversity, geared towards LGBTQ plus youth in our valley. Every month, we'll bring in local, state, or national nonprofits to speak about resources for youth and their families. We'll also highlight the successes, challenges, and stigmas facing queer youth today. In-kind support for this program comes from Gay for Good Rocky Mountains. Today, we're very excited to be joined by Maya Lindgren, who is a senior at Roaring Fork High School.
And I'm Hallie Zander, the project coordinator at the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. Our guest today, Maya Lindgren, is one of my students. I asked her to join us today because during one of our first classes, she disclosed that she was part of the LGBTQ plus community, and she's here today to tell us what it's like to be young and gay in the Roaring Fork Valley.
So I'm Maya Lindgren. I'm 17 years old, and I go to Roaring Fork High School. I was born in Glenwood, and I've lived in Carbondale my whole life. I'm a pretty outdoorsy person, and I think that this valley is like great to experience a lot of different settings and like the environment. I'm a water girl, so I like being on the lake. My family has a boat, so we do a lot of camping trips, and I like dirt biking and like just being outside, honestly, whatever, it doesn't matter.
So this is Dimensions in Diversity. It is a show all about highlighting the diverse aspects of ourselves. So I want to ask you, Maya, how do you usually self-identify when it comes to your sexual orientation?
As lesbian.
And this is actually a conversation that I've had with a few, I feel like, of our guests, Steve. You might know what's coming next. I'm always curious to know why people choose the words that they do. And like for me personally, I really like to use the word queer because it's like reclamation of, you know, a troubled past for the LGBTQ community. But also I like how malleable the definition of it can be. I'm curious if there was some intention behind choosing lesbian or if it just like felt right to you.
I mean, like when I talk to my friends and like say that I come out to someone that's like my friend, like, I won't say, like, hey, like, I'm lesbian. I just, like, I will usually use, like, gay.
Yeah, gay is also interesting, too. I use gay as well, even though, you know, historically it's been allotted for men. But
right.
I feel like lately it's definitely been used much more often for everybody.
Yeah,
it's funny because I never really thought about it until you started bringing up on some of these calls we've been having because I've always identified as gay because it would be weird if I said I was lesbian because I'm not attracted to women. But you know, to your point, I've also heard the word gay and queer used interchangeably, which is kind of fascinating to me because I don't really know the why behind that. Whatever the comfort level is, I don't think there's a wrong answer. It's whatever fits the best description of you. I came out 20 plus years ago, and there weren't as many letters under the rainbow as there are today. And so I find it very fascinating that there are multiple ways to describe somebody without painting yourself into a corner.
Yeah, I feel like all of the terms are pretty versatile now. Like they don't just mean like one set thing. Like you said, Hallie, they're all pretty malleable, which I think is pretty cool.
So can you, Maya, can you tell us a little bit about when you first discovered that you were gay?
If you ask me, I would probably say my freshman year of high school. But if you ask my friends and family, they all knew that I was going to be gay when I was little. My friend's mom just sent me this picture of when I was maybe 9 or 10, and I was like the epitome of gay. I had like the long cargo shorts, like the plaid shorts and like a rain jacket. It was a mess. And I was convinced that I was straight until about my freshman year. I think my dad knew. It wasn't really a surprise to anyone.
So you said you kind of figured it out when you were a freshman in high school. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I played softball and I met my best friend now there. And I just like developed this crush for her And I was like, whoa, like I might like girls, you know? And then it kind of just went on from there.
I mean, I'm almost jealous in a way of how after one friendship that turned into a crush, it seems like maybe turned back into a friendship. That was your first inclination of, oh, I might like girls. Cause I think for those who maybe live in communities that aren't as accepting, that that's not the first place we jump to.
Right. Yeah.
And like, for me, it definitely wasn't. It took me a lot longer, I would say, to figure it out. Cause I grew up in the South. So did you feel really accepted by your community, and, or were you ever afraid that this was going to be something people didn't accept?
I feel like you always have to be a little skeptical about coming out. Like, I knew that there were people who don't necessarily like accept people who are gay, but I wasn't scared that my friends were going to like befriend me because I was gay. I wasn't scared that I was going to be discriminated against because I was gay. And I have lots of friends who came out like before me who like proved that to me, that like they were fine.
And knowing, you know, that coming out is almost a daily process, because it's not like one and done. It's not like you just come out and it's done. No. Like, anytime you meet someone new, it's another coming out story. You know, I think a lot of people, to your point, is that initially it's that I'm scared of that initial reaction, but then it becomes more comfortable because you're more comfortable with who you are. So you have that confidence behind stating, you know, I am this or I am that. And so I think it's almost easier for people to accept when they know that you've accepted yourself.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
And kind of just going back to your original statement about crushes, I find crushes very fascinating, because there's multiple layers to that. Because you could have a crush on someone because maybe you're attracted to their intellect. You could be attracted to them physically, or both. And so as a young person, crushes can be very confusing for people. That's why people have heard the term man crush. You know, two straight guys could have crushes on each other, but it's not on a sexual level. It's like, I can't do anything without my best friend. So right, yeah. I think crushes can be confusing for people too.
Yeah, it definitely was for me. I didn't really know what was going on. And then I went to some of my friends that had previously like come out to me, and I asked them their kind of story and like how they figured it out, and just kind of like, I wasn't scared of the idea of being gay. Like, that didn't scare me. I was like, if I am, I am. You can't change that. If that's like who you are, you just have to accept that, you know? And the faster you like accept your identity, like the better off you're going to be, you know? Cause it's like, hating yourself is hard.
You don't have to have the answer to this, but I'm curious, do you think that self-acceptance while you were still figuring out who you were, do you think that has to do with your generation and your generation's acceptance of the queer community, of the LGBTQ community, or specifically how you grew up?
Yeah, honestly, I think it does have to do with kind of mindset of our generation, because it's not so terrible now. But like with my parents' generation, there are a lot more people who are against like our identities. So yeah, I would think that I had an easier time just based on like my friends and people who were closest to me, who I already knew that they were gonna accept me for who I was.
Because we are technically in a rural place. And so historically, geographically, the rural spaces are not necessarily the most comforting or the most accepting of the LGBTQ community. So it's cool to see that Carbondale has maybe become somewhat of either an anomaly or a leader in how the queer community can be treated in rural spaces.
I mean, the only thing I want to add is, you know, I want to throw a little bit of a plug out there for Aspen Out and Aspen Gay Ski Week, because they were the pride event, so to speak, pride, not necessarily a pride parade, but they have been the pride event of the year for our valley, where, you know, big cities like LA, New York, Chicago, they actually have an official pride event where it builds up your confidence, it brings people together, exposes people to the LGBT community that may not be exposed to, you know, on a normal day. Where the only thing we have here, and thankfully we have here, is Aspen Gay Ski Week and Aspen Out. So I think that's been definitely fruitful for all of us, since it's been going on for 40 plus years. So
yeah,
Well, yeah. So I want to backtrack a little bit to coming out and what that was like for you, Maya, and who, as we said before, coming out is an ongoing process. And
yeah,
as we meet new people, as we get to know new people, that never really stops. But the first time you come out to anyone is always big, because in a way you're not just, it's not just a thought in your head, you're sharing it, you're acknowledging it with somebody else. Who did you tell for the first time, and what was that like?
I mean, it wasn't like an official kind of come out. I was not like, hey, like, I'm gay. I think I was just more curious, and I think I kind of like outed myself without trying to my friends. So, and they were just, I mean, one of the girls, I did it in like this group. Who does that? I mean, I guess I do, but one of the girls, she had come out before as bi. So I felt pretty comfortable in that scenario already. And they were both very close friends of mine. And I just was like, I think I might like girls. And they were like, sweet. And that was it. And then move on to the next conversation. It wasn't a big deal. I mean, it was just like another thing, I guess.
That is so wonderful.
I'm envious. I wish I had that creative story.
Maya, Steve and I have talked a little bit about our coming out stories together,
yeah,
what that was like. And I guess for me, I think it was actually pretty similar in that the first people I told, it was very nonchalant, would be.
So accidental.
It was so like, whatever. I mean, and it was just my friends in college. Oh yeah, she's really cute. I like girls. And
yeah,
just having it be really natural and fun. But when I told my parents, that was the like stereotypical coming out experience where I sat them down and I remember like precluding the conversation with like, I'm really excited to tell you something. And I basically told them how I wanted them to act before I told them. So I was like, and I just want to thank you for being understanding and like in advance. did you ever have to go through that kind of stereotypical thing where you sat somebody down, like your grandparents or something like that?
When I came out to my parents, it was not ideal timing. It was honestly not even intentional. I was like actually in trouble for something, and my parents were like yelling at me, and I didn't know why they were yelling at me. So I was like, the first thing that comes out of my mouth, like, I don't know where this came from, but I was like, are you mad because I'm gay? And my mom was just like, so you are gay. I was like, oh, I just stepped in it. And I was just like, yeah, like, oopsies, didn't mean to do that. And then, I mean, it took them a while to get used to. Honestly, they were just like, what do I do with that? Like, what am, like, but they didn't treat me any differently. They still saw me the same. Even now, they're super supportive, and they always listen to me when I have something to talk about. And they don't, like, with the girlfriends that I've had, they let them come over, like me go see them. It's not like you can't go out, you can't have friends that are girls, none of that. Like, no, they've always been super supportive of what I do and my decisions. So
we've not all gotten to have that experience, and I think that it's clear to me, Maya, that you know how bad it can go.
Oh yeah. Not necessarily people that I go to school with, but I do know people who have literally been kicked out of their houses because their parents would not accept them for that. And they couldn't go home, or their parents like tried to like fix them and tried to like make them straight. I think that's what scared me more than anything, was that like that my parents would react like that. But they honestly surprised me and were like, okay, that's cool.
I mean, that's a very valid concern, because that does happen. And I think it's a good way. It's good that the younger generation knows that that happens and that's real, so that you could be there for each other in the event that happens. Because it happened to me. And I know Hallie knows that, that, you know, my parents disowned me, and that was 20 plus years ago. And today we still don't have a relationship because of it, which is unfortunate for them. And I say for them because it's their choice to not have a relationship, but it still happens today. And a lot of it could be religious based. It could be politically based. It could be just lack of, you know, knowledge based, or all three or more. So it's good that it's obvious, you know, how good your coming out story was and how bad it could have been.
Yeah.
So it's amazing your parents are just so willing to just love you for you.
Yeah. I got lucky, honestly. I got lucky with my parents being so supportive. And I know that a lot of my friends are not so lucky. So, and it's hard to hear, like, that their own parents who raised them, you know, just can cut off a relationship like that.
And I'm really glad that we're doing this interview, that you're the first student we're interviewing currently, because it is such a great example of how it should be able to go. And that we should be training parents to handle it the way that yours did. And whether that's like through just sharing your story and how, and letting parents out there know that there is a really positive way forward through this.
Yeah, I think that like the biggest thing that I would tell parents that weren't accepting is that like, I'm not a different person just because I'm straight or I'm gay. Like I'm still the same person. That doesn't change like my personality or like my opinions or stuff like that. And that's what I would tell parents about their kids. It's all like, your kid is still your kid. Like they're still the same child you raised from, you know, birth. They're still the same kid that you thought of literally yesterday. It's like, it's not like they completely change and they're a different person.
And the parents didn't do anything wrong. I mean,
yeah, no.
Thing. It's like a lot of parents blame themselves. Like, oh, I made my kid whatever.
Right.
And, you know, I think parents need to understand that it's, you know, it's not a choice. And I know it's a very controversial way of saying it, but no one would choose to be ostracized. No one would choose to be excluded. So, you know, I don't think anybody would say, hey, yeah, I want to be gay so that, you know, I get disowned by my family or I have fewer friends. So, you know, I think it's as simple as that, where parents don't necessarily understand that part of it. But that's why conversion therapy has been banned in so many states and continues to be banned, because there's no proof that it does anything.
Yeah.
It was only banned in Colorado maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's still, I mean, not even 2 years ago. I think it was the summer of 2019 that it got banned.
Yeah. So, and I was out. I was out before that. So that could have been me in there.
I mean, when I saw that legislation pass, it was such a sigh of relief. And I was like, wait, we still had that. Still legal. Until just now. Like, that is really scary. And so I'm hoping that we can find ways like to support any of the like kids in Colorado who had to go through that before they all shut down.
It's really scary that some people have to go through that stuff.
And that's why sharing stories like this are important, is so that people know that you are loved and you're great as who you are. And it's obvious that you are a smart, healthy citizen that's, you know, giving back to your community. And, you know, that's why Hallie and I have this show, so that, you know, people can see that we're out there giving back to the community. We want to be part of the community. We're no different than the rest of the community. So that's why your story is so important.
Maya, as we said in the beginning of the show, you are a student of mine. What I found was so surprising, I think, for me at least, was to be in class for the first time with all of these new students that we're meeting virtually. So there's already this like barrier between us. And we went around and did introductions, and Maya just goes ahead and comes out to the whole class and just, you know, which I'm sure that all of those people in class probably knew that already if you had been out for a while.
Yes.
But none of the teachers knew, because we were all new to you.
Yeah.
I guess, what like, was that even a thought in your head? Like, oh, I'm gonna tell them this? Or was it just, this is a part of who I am, I wanna share it? Did you just feel really comfortable in that moment? Or did you think it was important to tell us?
I was like, there's no point in hiding it. It's part of who I am. Like, I mean, you see me in class, like I have a pride flag hanging by my head when I'm sitting in class. Like, like, I don't wanna have to hide who I am in front of anyone. So, and I, like, all of the kids in the class already knew that I was gay. Like, everybody, I'm pretty happy to say that, like, I'm not ashamed of who I am. I don't think I ever have been. So I don't have a problem telling someone. Like, if you're gonna ask me, I'm gonna be honest with you. If I feel like it has come up in a conversation, I'll tell you. If it comes up, I'll say it.
Because you're so many other things than that. Yeah, there's a million things you are, and that's just a little tiny bit of who you are.
Right.
But people tend to focus so much on that when it's so trivial at the end of the day.
Speaking of that, Maya, tell us a little bit more about yourself. What else makes up who you are beyond this label?
I was going to put some more labels on it. I would consider myself kind of a jock, but I'm also quite a nerd. I like my school. I like the academics. I just like being buried in learning. I would say that I'm a little bit of everything. I think I like school. I like sports. I like being outside. I like being inside. I like doing all kinds of stuff. A lot of people, when they describe me, it's like that I'm super go with the flow. I am not very high maintenance. That's kind of how I would describe myself.
You can share your very exciting college news with the radio waves if you'd like.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so I play basketball. I've been playing basketball since I was in the maybe second or third grade. And I have always wanted to be a collegiate athlete. And this year I got the opportunity to go play college basketball at a D3 school in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. So I recently committed to play at Coe College and go out there and play basketball for them, which I'm super excited about.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I want to talk a little bit about Roaring Fork High School, where you go. Is there a GSA at Roaring Fork or anything like it?
There is. I am not a part of it.
The GSA stands for Gender Sexuality Alliance. So many schools, you know, middle schools and high schools in our valley have one. And it doesn't mean you have to be identified as LGBTQ+ to be a part of it. We know there's tons of straight allies that come to these meetings. So it's great that they have those. I wish we had them when I was in high school.
They had one at my school, but back in, 2010, when I was in high school, it was also a GSA, but it stood for Gay Straight Alliance. So it was just a little more specific. And I think they wanted to broaden that definition a little bit more. But my school did not allow the club to meet during school hours on school property. They could be listed as a club, but they could not meet during school, which meant that made it a lot harder for kids to actually be involved.
Wow.
Just that, like, kind of that implicit lack of acceptance was palpable. But anyway, yes. I asked.
The generational differences though. So I graduated a little bit before then than you, Hallie. and again, we didn't have one. Your school had one, but you had to meet off campus. And, we have Maya, who her high school has it during normal school hours.
Yeah.
So it's great to see that evolution through the generations, because that is where you also see the transformation among acceptance too. So I just wanted to highlight those parallels, because I find that very intriguing and very exciting. So.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to see, yeah.
There's a whole new class of freshmen coming in this fall to Roaring Fork High School. Do you have any advice for them or for any of the students at school on, if they are starting to question their sexuality or their gender identity and looking for support, like where might you tell them to go?
I would say to just not be afraid of yourself. It's okay. This, like, especially our valley and even Roaring Fork as a school is very accepting and very supportive. There's always teachers, classmates, principal, just any sort of staff at the school. They all are very supportive. They always are there for you as a student. And then I would just say, like, lean on your friends. They are supposed to be the people that are there for you through anything and everything. And so just be honest with them and yourself too. Like, it's okay to question, like, it's not gonna kill you. I think that high school is a very important stage in our lives where we find out a lot about ourselves and who we are as people. And if identifying as queer or any other is very important to accept at this age, especially now that it's more acknowledged, it's more safe, and especially with our generation.
What about for the parents? Any advice you might give them?
Yeah. To parents, I would honestly just say that don't change the way that you treat your kids if they come out to you or if they're questioning. Like, that just makes it worse for them. And also don't, like, rush them. I think that it's important that they find themselves in their own time. And if they aren't ready to, like, come out to you, don't try to force that. Don't, like, be mad at them for not coming out to you sooner. Like, I came out to all of my friends, my whole entire school, before I came out to my parents. So I think it's important to just treat your kid the same way that you would anybody else.
I think that piece of advice is, like, not to rush them. If you have, you know, thoughts or you have suspicions, not to pressure them about it. I do have a friend though, who came out when she was in college, but her whole family said that they knew when she was in elementary school, and like, similar to you. And she takes the opposite piece of advice, where she was like, why didn't anybody tell me? That makes it so much easier. I still think that giving them time and space to figure it out for themselves is the right way to go. But yeah.
You've been listening to Dimensions in Diversity on the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. This program is supported by Gay for Good Rocky Mountains. We've been talking with Maya Lindgren, a senior at Roaring Fork High School. If you'd like more information about Gay for Good and their upcoming events, visit gayforgood.org/Rocky Mountains. Thanks for listening to Dimensions in Diversity on the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program.